As a rule, people enjoy hearing and telling organized and clear stories. After all, ambiguity and confusion disrupt our understanding and appreciation of information. Isn't it ironic, then, that we allow and, in some cases, even tolerate people's confused and messed up lives? In Psalms, the 8th chapter, we learn that starting and ending with God provides the divine clarity we all need. Pastor C. Wright has more to say about this in today's sermon called Awesome God, Awesome Grace. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry C. Wright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Help them, Lord, to teach us how great you are, how awesome you are. This is a book. So, Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome experience, but boy, it's a hard study. It's a tough study. This psalm is just full of meat and good stuff. Before we dive off into it, first I wanted to say that we had an awesome time once again. God is really showing up there, and we ask that you join here to share his word, share his truth, and just have a good time in him. Additionally, always promote Sunday school. We have a great lesson today. And it actually ties into the message on today as well. So we just ask, encourage you to just come out on today. On this past Wednesday, I had the opportunity. Galloways were there with us as well, and some good information, some powerful information I will share. And I will share that with leadership at some time also. But, you know, we live in a day and a time, unfortunately, where even churches are targets. Even churches are targets. We have to be mindful of the fact that we serve an awesome God. Mm-hmm. God has also given us brains.
That's right. And that's right.
He's also given us brains. So we have to use them as well. Amen. So as I said, I'll begin with leadership and God's to that. Says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow. By way of introduction, you know, folks, as a rule, don't like listening to unorganized, confusing stories. They don't like to hear something that is in, like, disarray. You know, you can't tell a story and begin at the middle. You know, like, and then we went to the story, we went by Sue House. And you can't stand hearing a story at the end. Boy, it was fun. Man, we had good time. And you just can't give them the beginning either. Man, we woke up that morning. We woke up, and then we went to breakfast. People, as a rule, they like organized, right? Organized stories with a ending, with a beginning and a middle and a ending. You know, we like our movies like that. We like our TV shows like that. We like our sermons like that. We like them to be like organized and systematic and clear and progressive. When a parent must referee between fighting children, right? They want to pause for a moment and they're going to say, what happened? Because they want to get the sense of it all. They want to understand what's up. They want to get the gist of it all. Who did what and what did what to who, and they want to get all the facts straight. And some folks like more facts and details than others. Some are like dragnet. You know, they say, just facts, man. That's all. And then when you look in different households, folks in telling stories, you got some good storytellers. And you'll have a group of family members go around, and the ones that can't tell story good, they say, no, you don't tell that. Let her tell it. She do better, right? Right? And even in our home, you know, it's funny because we got some that just sticks with the facts, you know. And they just say, this happened. But then when somebody comes up who gives a whole lot of detail, and they give a story like it's going to be a good 15, 20 hours, 2 or 3. And you can see all the family members just looking at each other like. Oh. And when it's over, they say, could have said that in 5 minutes. We like our entertainment to be organized, right? Succinct and systematic, progressive. We like our information that way as well. But what is like strange to me? What's strange to me is that although we want our entertainment to be organized and systematic and our information that way as well. We are willing to tolerate confused, messed up, jacked up lives. Our lives are in disarray, and somehow we are trying to make that cool. It's like trying to put perfume on a pig. We try to make it look better, try to make a pig look like a princess. But this song, it slaps all of us in the face with the obvious truth as to how life will make sense. If you want your life organized, if you want it to be systematic, succinct, and make sense of it all, it tells us right off the bat, because it tells you in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And then when you go down to verse 9, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. See, what it's doing is giving us bookends. And it's telling you the key to understanding yourself or any other man or woman is to start with God, because it will end with God. And that is the bookends there. Verse 1 and verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It doesn't take Dr. Phil. Doesn't take whoever you are into to get this knowledge and this work. You know what? It starts and it ends with your relationship with God. You know, you're looking for fix and solutions and remedies, and you're desperate for an aha moment when you need an encounter with the Almighty. So David starts here, because this song is written by King David, and he starts here by giving us the proper orientation. He says, okay, you got to be oriented to walk this walk with me, this walk of praise with me. Let's get oriented right off the bat. You know, we're going to focus first on him. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. You know, David in his praise here, he didn't try to go with formalities. And what I mean by that is that, you know, in the Jewish culture, they were so respectful of God and his name that they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't say his name. So in place of saying his name, they said, Adonai. So the writers here were trying to respect Jewish tradition, and when you read it, it says, oh, Adonai, our Adonai. But when you really look at it and see how it truly was written, David used Yahweh. He used Jehovah.
Yes.
Right? And he says, Jehovah, Yahweh. Then he says, our Adonai. In other words, another name for Jehovah and Yahweh is I am. So he says, I am our Adonai. How majestic is your name in all the earth. When he says, I am, it brings us back to Revelations. It takes us to Revelations at first chapter in that 8th verse, when it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. But he goes on to say in this verse, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Wow. You know, back in the day, Sister Dixon would come before us and she would ask you a question. And she said, how big is your God? What a powerful, powerful question. How big is your God? And I'll ask you today, how big is your God? How big is your God? David would answer that question by saying, first, his name is majestic, it's beautiful, it's powerful, it's grand in all the earth. You know, Christ's prayer in Matthew, the sixth chapter, when Christ prayed, and matter of fact, it was the ninth and the tenth verse of the sixth chapter, he said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that this is not fulfilled today, but we know that it will be, where everyone and every knee and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Right? We know that that day, one day, will come. And although that it's not like right now prevalent in everyone's mouth that he is Lord, because some actually curse him, some are actually his enemy at this time. Although that's the situation, you know what? His name is still majestic in all the earth. Still majestic in all the earth. You know, someone did the research and they said his name is the title, the most titles of all songs that ever been written. It's with his name. You know, and I can go on to say that I bet you it's a very popular name to say right before accidents. If you believe in him or not. You are Jesus. Right? I know you will. Right? And David would answer the question, how big is my God? By continuing on and saying that God's glory, his beauty, his power, his honor, his moral excellence, his beauty visually, how he guided the children of Israel by a cloud of by day and a pillar by night, right? And it was showing his glory in a visual sense. But guess what's his glory in an audible sense? It's the praise of his people. So by God's glory, he says this, that David says, you know, it can't sit on the earth. It sits above the heavens. Because our God is big. How big is your God? And David goes on to say, you know, I want them to go on this trip with me. I want to explain just how great and marvelous and awesome and wonderful and grand he is. And I want to have people go on this trip with me. Should I talk about his creation? Or should I talk about what he did for us? You know, should I talk about his creation or should I talk about his grace towards us? You know, in regards to what he's done for man, or should I talk about like his creation? And he was like, radio, I'll do both. He said, I'll do both. Right? I'm going to talk about both. You know, because when you look at, like, in this respect, when you look at it, it says, God, creation. Like God, creation, man. But once it comes to significance, it's God, man, creation. You see, and that's what David wanted you to take this walk with him to see that. Because he went and said, you know, let me start over here with man. He said, out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. What does that mean? What does that mean? Did he call you and I babies and infants? Babies who can't provide for themselves and they need providing for? They can't feed themselves, so they need someone to come and give them the food and the resources and everything to feed them. And then when you talk about like babies as well, you're talking about like infants who are just beginning to understand and who are just beginning to know what's what. Is he talking about us that way? Yeah. Yes, he is. He is referring to us as babies and infants. You know, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 28 to 29, it says this: God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God will not share his glory with anyone. Yes, he uses little old us to defy his enemies and the avengers. Enemies, those who talk against him and blaspheme his name and just disrespect him. And then the avengers mean those who think judgment rests and lies in them, that they can determine right and wrong. They are the ones that determine right and wrong. Goes on to say, as an example, how does he do this? How is this possible? How does God even try to do this? How? Well, in Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 20, it says, so the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. You know, this is the story of how the people marched around the walls of Jericho. And they went around 7 times, and not at once did they, like, touch or anything else. What they did is the trumpets blast, and the people shouted, right? They shouted. God doesn't match chariot against chariot, spear against spear, gun against gun, tank against tank, missile against missile. His weapon is our praise. His weapon is our praise. When we open our mouths, the mouths of babes and infants, that is something that changes even nations. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, he has perfected praise. You know, it goes on even in Matthew 21st chapter, verses 14 through 16. Jesus was in there healing folks and healing the lame and everything else. And then all of a sudden you had the religious leaders up there looking at him, and they were looking at him and everything, and they didn't like what he was doing. And this was the exchange. It said, and the blind, I'll read this for you. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of God, or the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what? said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies? You have prepared praise. And that's what we're talking about. God's weapon is our praise. How big is your God? How big is your God? The enemy plans to attack. He wants to attack because he wants to shut up prayers and he wants to stop praise. He wants to make sure that you are so discouraged, that you are so wrapped up in your own situation that you will be quiet. He didn't say, you know, I want you to be quiet, so take some of this cancer. That'll quiet you down. Right. Take some of this brokenness. Take some of this depression and this heartache and this loneliness. That's going to quiet you down. That will take some of this mental illness. That'll quiet you down. Right? That'll quiet. Matter of fact, take some of this death of a loved one. That'll quiet you down. But we must be like David. We must say, I am our Adonai. How great is your name? I am our Adonai. How great is your name? Looking at our situations and circumstances and everything else. David was in that field, and they said more than likely he went back to the time when he was a shepherd. And he was watching over the sheep. And then all of a sudden he looked up. And when he looked up into the heavens, he says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. He is greater than my circumstances. He is greater than my situations. He is greater than my predicaments. He's greater than my habits. He's greater than my hang-ups. He's greater than my past. When I look to your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. You know, I was reading a little bit about our solar system. That means that it's not the only solar system. But when I was reading about our solar system and how it has 8 planets, you know, that Pluto thing is still a debate. They call it a dwarf planet. But when I was researching it, it says we have Mercury, and then we have Venus, and then we have Earth, and then we have Mars, and we have Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, and then there's Pluto. And we have all of these, and all of these, they go around a sun. They go around a sun. It tells me that God also said, you know, I'm going to put some stars in there. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a lot of stars in there. Matter of fact, let me create a system of millions or billions of stars together with gas and dust held together by gravitational attraction and call it a galaxy. And it's just not one galaxy, but it's many galaxies. Many galaxies. And check how he did it. Check out how he did it. Our God, our great God. Look at how he did it. The psalmist said, when I look at the work of your fingers. God just said. In other words, he was trying to let you know that no energy is expended. I didn't lose any of my power. I didn't lose any of my greatness. I'm just going to set these things in place. And guess what? Nothing is random. I'm going to set all those millions and billions of stars right in place where they belong. And I'm not going to lose any. And I'm just going to do it with my fingers. I'm going to do it with my fingers. That's how great our God is. You know, it's funny when folks used to challenge people, you know, to fight. They say, come on, what you gonna do? And somebody said, man, please, I can just take you, take care of you with my been good. I can just take care of you with my, no, they can't. But they just say it, you know, in exaggeration. Man, I can just take care of you with my finger. No, God took care of the universe. With his finger. Just with his fingers. He just hung things in place. And when you see the beauty of his galaxies and his stars, and you have to say, our God, I am our Adonai. How excellent, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In all the earth. You know, I gave y'all this illustration before. I said, you know, I like chips. I like eating chips. And one time I was eating chips, watching TV, and then all of a sudden it was like, right here. and in my weird thinking, I said, that's probably bigger than me when it comes to the universe, stars, galaxies, and everything. I mean, I'm just even that insignificant once it comes to size and puniness. But he cares for me. Yet he cares for me. And now he's big and he's the greatest. And then there's that creation. And then there's man. Although we are puny, we are significant to him. And that's when David had to come back and say, you know, I'm talking about man, and then I'm talking about creation, then I'm talking about man, and I'm talking about creation. And in relationship, it tells us that the one who rules everything decided to think about us and allow us to rule on earth. He allowed us to rule on earth. In Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He said, you know what? No, yeah, you're puny once it comes to everything that I created, but you're significant to me because you're made in my image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Goes on to say in verses 5 and 6, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. I was reading a theologian by the name of Thomas Aquinas, and he said this: man is in a mediating position. Man is in a mediating position. And what he meant is this. When you look at the angels, right, they have spirit, but no body. When you look at the beasts, they have body, but no spirit. But when you look at man in that mediating position, they have body and spirit. Because he's in that mediating position. He's in that position where he can actually sit back and look around and say, God, our God, how excellent is your name. The animals have a way of praising him. The stars have their way of praising him. The angels have their way of praising him. But we have a specific way of praising him because you know what? He didn't come and die for angels. Right? He didn't come and die for angels. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Our God. Our God. How excellent. excellent is your name in all the earth. Another theologian by the name of Boyce said this, and it had me thinking quite a bit. He said this. He says, but here is the interesting thing. When the psalm gets around to describing man specifically, it describes him as being a little lower than the heavenly beings, rather than a little higher than the beast. It could have been written the other way around. If man really is a mediating being, as the psalm maintains, it would have been equally accurate to have described him as slightly higher than the beasts, rather than as slightly lower than the angels. But it does not. And the reason it does not say that we are a little higher than the beast is because although men and women have been given a position midway between the angels and the beast, is nevertheless humanity's special privilege and duty to look up rather than look down. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to look up, but then all of a sudden, through our educational systems and things of that nature, Darwinism got popular. And they said, you come from animals, and you are nothing more than an animal. And they have us looking down, saying that we came from that. And it stops us from looking up. From looking up. You know, this thing is so twisted. And this world is so twisted, and that's why I ask you, how big is your God? Because the main thing that the devil wants to do is stop these prayers and these praises. He wants to stop them by any means necessary. He wants to mess up your circumstances. He wants to mess up your situation. He wants you to be drowned in guilt and not forgiving yourself, and to the point where you don't even want to praise him. He wants to silence all mouths to be quiet and let the praise cease. That's his goal and that's his mission. You cannot say, I am our Adonai, when you have all this baggage and you don't have the right perspective and the right orientation. That's why David started with God and he ended with God. He said you have to start with God, getting that relationship right with him. Getting it right with him. And that's the whole point. Who can praise him? Who can give him the proper glory? Who can give him the proper honor? Those who have a relationship with him. Those who have a relationship with him. Saints, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't feel like praising? Where you didn't feel like praying? When depression or something else on that line just had you bound? And you just didn't feel like it. Those are the moments that will let you know that it's a war going on. It's a war going on. And David here is saying that as long as you keep looking up, as long as you keep him in perspective, have the right orientation, I tell you, when you focus on him, the situation all of a sudden looks different. Things don't look as bleak. They don't look as hopeless. You don't feel as lost. And you don't feel lonely because you know that you have Him. Our Lord, I am our Adonai. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Saints, I encourage you to get on it. To get in the right perspective. To put Him in His proper place. And you can do that by first making sure that your relationship has become to an end. Make sure that your relationship is right. That's first and foremost. Is to make sure that your relationship is right with Him. Do you have a relationship that honors Him? A type of relationship where He is Lord in your life. Where He is your King. Because that's what all these titles are saying, saints. That He is Creator. That He is Lord. That He is Ruler. That He is King. He's majestic. He is all that. He can be all of that to you as well. As we sing. Oh Lord, I am our Adam. How majestic is your name in all. You know, as the altar workers come, the invitation that I will give is this, before I dismiss, the invitation I will give to you is this. If you have a question about your relationship with Christ, come and see one of the altar workers. You want to know more about how to make sure that you are right with Him. Come and see. Talk to one of them. If you want to, if you have questions in regards to this thing about God and Christ and how it comes all together, these folks are equipped to discuss that with you. And you have questions about membership. I say come as well and talk to one of them. They can answer those questions. But my task or my assignment today was this. Make sure that you don't leave today without making sure that you are right with Him. Don't let another moment, don't let another opportunity for Satan to just get you down in the dumps. Don't let another opportunity pass you by. Come today. Come today. Today. So after dismissal, as I stated, these folks are here to assist. If you need prayer and anointing, I say, come up this way. Let's bow our heads. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we heard your word on today. Father, we just ask that you, Lord, penetrate the hearts and minds today with your word, Lord. Let them just let them wrestle with this thing, Lord. And give them no peace, Father, if they are not lined up with you. Because this thing has eternal implications, Lord. Lord, help them. Be in line with you. And Father, for those who know you for themselves. Lord, give them the strength. Encourage them, Father, through your word, to praise you even more. To praise you even more. Lord, touch us. Watch over us until we meet again.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.